Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Ghiberti.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Ghiberti, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I'm very excited about the show. We are going to discuss how to host a successful event with our guest, Ramon Ray. Ramon has hosted numerous events in New York, and in fact, I can't even keep count of how many he's actually hosted, and he travels the country as a public speaker. He is also the publisher of Smart Hustle magazine. It is my pleasure to welcome him on this show.
Mark, thank you so much for having me. That sounded like a very exciting introduction, so I hope I can deliver. Thank you, my friend.
Strong start. It's only going to get even stronger. So, what I like to ask everyone who comes on my podcast, I always like to start with why. So what got you started as an event organizer?
Sure. I think my first event was started and planned in 2005, and that was called the Small Business Summit, and it was produced, took place in 2006. And Mark, tell you the truth, there's no secret sauce, special thing like I wanted to save the world or save the whales. I did it because I'm a creator. So I had my third company at the time, I think it was smallbiztechnology.com, and me and my business partner, we said, hey, you know, how do we scale it up? How do we grow? Can we bring together a community of small business owners to an event? And of course, we said, we can't do it. Could we get the money for it? No, we probably can't. Will anybody come? No, they won't come. So we said, great, let's do it.
That's how it starts usually.
Exactly. So that's why I just wanted to bring together a people of like-minded community and do an event. I had been to many, as you go to many, but I said, I wonder if I could do this myself and shape it how I want it done.
So when you first have this idea of, I want to create my own event, and especially at that stage where you said you came out with the event where like everyone was there in 2006, but you actually started the planning in 2005. So what were you thinking about that path in front of you? And what was some of the insights from that planning process?
Sure. Well, I knew, and again, we all have different strengths. I knew I needed to get sponsors to help pay for the event. And I'd help pay for it because that's how the business is done. I mean, Super Bowl, you know, MTV Awards, all these things we do are just sponsored events. They call it epical advertising. So that's how this business works, selling eyeballs. So I knew I needed sponsors, and I knew, of course, I needed time to get them to say yes or no. So that alone, Mark, you know, a tip, as it were, it just takes time to do an event. You need to leave yourself a lot of time to get sponsors. And I think the second thing that takes time is the marketing. Now, of course, if you're somebody who's as famous as Mark or Seth Godin or other amazing people, you just snap your fingers and people flock to your event. That's not me. It takes time. You have to build in time to, hey, you know, as is probably one of your podcasts or, you know, Mark, you have to touch people several times for them to even listen to you. So the two things that take time are to get sponsors and marketing plan to get people to come. Everything else is transactional, venues and food. You can just slide a credit card and get, you know, 200 buckets of shrimp to any place in New York City. So
all of that work you mentioned earlier was critical for helping you get started. And I'm sure you use those same methods today. But in addition to what you've already mentioned, is there any other insights you could provide for anyone listening who wants to become a super successful event organizer just like yourself?
Sure. Hopefully they'll be better than me. But I think an event has a few pillars. A, you have to have people come to the event, butts in seats. To get that, you need to have a marketing plan. Whether you're paying advertising, whether you're doing deals with organization partners or individuals, hey, Mark, I'm having an event. Can you tell your audience? So marketing plan to get butts in seats. Point two, you have to have an agenda. And mostly the agenda means who is going to be speaking at the event, what kind of panels will you have, what kind of, I don't know, are you going to have kumbaya sessions, whatever you're doing. So point two is, what's the agenda, which means who's speaking. Point three, I think the event logistics. Every event needs to have a venue. Most events are going to have food. Most events are going to have audio visual from the PowerPoint to the microphones. That's the third leg of an event. And then fourth are your sponsors. They're the ones who are going to pay the freight for it and who are going to have exhibit tables or not, speaking or not. And then the fifth, and I think last portion, I believe that's what it is the overall design, things of that nature, signage, PowerPoints, things like that. So for me, I put every event kind of into five broad buckets. And the first three, though, are most important, meaning the getting the attendees, what's the agenda, and getting the sponsors. If you get those three things done, everything else pretty much will take care of itself to a degree.
So Listening to this right now, it's easy to tell that you're an expert and you've been able to organize all of these successful events, but there are people who are just learning about you for the first time. They're thinking, wow, Ramon Ray is really great at what he does. But what I like to do, I like to show people that they can achieve these same results. So right. What I ask people is, what was the low point on their journey? Because it looks like all roses and perfection if you tune into someone's journey at a specific time. So I ask you, what was the low point of your journey?
And Mark, to be honest, my life revolves around low points. Meaning, let me clarify that. Meaning, yes, I've been blessed. I've had some success. But I'll tell you a secret. This is just between you and I, Mark. Don't tell anybody else. My big event, October 20th, my 11th annual Smart Hustle Small Business Conference, that event had a low point. The driver I hired to drive me and like a zillion boxes of the event came late, dude. I live in Jersey. The event's in New York City. So my point being, and I'll talk to you about low points maybe starting out, but just so people know, yes, I've been blessed. I've had some success. But every event's different. You know, maybe the shrimp came late. Maybe somebody painted the night before and didn't tell you, and one of the half the hall is closed. What can you do? So having said that, I think low points really, I can say one low point was I tried to expand and do big events in the West Coast. I'm in the East Coast for those listening. And I lost about $50,000 doing the event. So I'll never forget that. And the lesson I learned, I expanded too fast. So those are two low points there, if that helps, if that makes sense.
Wow. I mean, usually when I hear about low points, it's something at the beginning, but I mean, we all have low points throughout our journey. I mean, it's part of the game. There are low points, yes. There are also the really great moments. You just have to be able to deal with both of them.
Right. Exactly. So low points are going to come. That's part and parcel, I think it was, of the course and how business is. And I think the way to success are who are those that can get over the low points. Who are those that can conquer it and not just get over emotionally? How can you innovate? So you're having an event. You promise sponsors 500 people are going to come. Only 100 people are registered. It's the night before. Yes, emotionally, well, we're going to do it, make it happen. We'll get over it. No, now you need to get a plan together and get 400 more people or manage the expectation to the sponsors. Something has to happen.
So you mentioned hitting these low points several times and the winners are the people who are able to conquer those low points and achieve exactly. New levels of excellence. So when you approach a low point, such as you mentioned, expanding into the West Coast, what is your biggest source of motivation that helps you through those bad dips?
I think probably it's one part of it, Mark, is just my DNA overall. You know, we're all different. We all struggle with different things. So for example, sometimes Mark, when I'm on stage speaking and you know, that's what I do suffer with a lack of self-worth while I'm on the stage. So it's a side point. My point being when things go wrong, when things happen, Mark, it's kind of like, if I can deviate, and again, you're the host here, so you can pull me back into range if I deviate too far. But I don't know if you heard the video or the tape for the guys who got Saddam Hussein. Osama bin Laden. One of the guys was saying, as he turned the corner, he knew Osama bin Laden was upstairs. And the Navy SEAL knew he would die, but he would get Osama first. So he said, I turn the corner, prepared to die, but to get him first, matter-of-factly. So that's kind of how I operate. Okay, not enough people came. There is nothing I can do about that, meaning, say, day of. Now what am I going to do about it to go on? And that's what I do to pull myself up, meaning the show, quote-unquote, it must go on. Mark, one day I had an event, and I got the venue wrong. By the way, you can tell that's not a skill of me being detailed. I got the venue wrong. I told them I need a space for like 50 people. They thought I said 5 people. Guess what we did? We had that event in a Subway's restaurant. I ran down to Subway's. I said, can I buy all the seats? I'll buy everybody who comes sandwiches. They're like, fine. You can be here for an hour or two as long as you know, we don't want to lose money from our sandwich business. So I said, great. How much do you usually make? He's like, give me $200, $300. Place is yours. That's we had our event.
Wow. Talk about getting creative.
Yeah. So that's what I do.
All right, so you've done a lot of, I mean, I did not know about that Subway one. You've done a lot of events. I mean, I'm sure there are other creative ones as well, but it's pretty obvious that the reason you do these events is because you have a love for it. So I ask you, what is the best thing about organizing these events?
Yeah, you know, events are like childbirth. it's a pleasure to start the process, you know, 9 months as you're starting, you know, inception or whatever it's called. The journey, you know, 9 months, it's sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, morning sickness or whatever. Mark, the birth, like right before the joy comes to the baby, that's a painful process. You know that, I know that, we can ask our mothers. But then when the baby's born, it's happy. So events are like that. To plan it and do it up and down, you know, you have some time to innovate and go through it. But it's a pain as you're, you know, the night before oftentimes, Mark, is the biggest stress for me because all the little details, or man, I hope people come, things like that. So that's how I think events is for me. But the joy being why I enjoy it, I love speaking, Mark. You know, like you do, you love interviewing people. That's what you do. So we're people persons, whatever you call it. So I love, two, I love just the people coming and having a good time building the community. And I do love the organization aspect of it. So what I don't like, of course, are the details. But if I want to have an event with 300, 500,000 people, I have to plan it and do it. And that's just the bottom line.
It's pretty obvious that you've learned a lot of things along your journey. But usually there are a few lessons that stand out the most that could apply to organizing events or just the whole big picture. So right. What is the best lesson that you have learned throughout your journey?
Yeah, I think probably a few lessons. I think one, especially for events, is getting help. That's important. You know, you can't do events alone, and getting good help, depending on the size of the event. One or two people who are anchor people who you trust. That's point one. I think point two is being able to read the audience. Now, again, somebody selling donuts in the street, that's a different skill set. Somebody who's a designer, different skill set. But an event, you have to be able to read your audience well. So I think that's point two. Three, have a great host and great speakers. Every speaker is not going to be funny. Every speaker may not be energetic. But do your best to get the best speakers you can, and preferably, Mark, to have heard them before. So those are three things I would say, because if you don't have great speakers, the whole agenda is bust and just done. If you're not able to read the audience and understand what they want, that's not going to work. So I'd say those are some things I would say to make sure your event's a success.
So earlier you mentioned getting some of the best speakers around, because, I mean, I've experienced this firsthand. The speaker could really set the entire pace for how an event right. goes. So there are people wondering, how exactly do I bring in these speakers? How do I ask them and how do I get them here? Because, I mean, for you, you know this like the back of your hand, but for the people who haven't organized events before, this is new waters.
Sure. Well, I think there's three ways to get speakers. There's some speakers, and let's assume that they're all good. Some speakers will speak, and you don't really have to pay them, but they're willing to speak because they can get the word out about their brand or their business. And that's great. You know, they're a local accounting company. Of course, the president of the accounting firm wants to speak at the event to get more clients and to expand his or her business. That's one. There are speakers then, such as myself. I really don't speak, you know, to get something or get a client because I don't have clients. So I'm often a paid speaker. You know, meaning you're a paid speaker. Third level of speaker are what I would call globally known celebrity speakers. You know, I have a tribe, Mark. We're on the interview today with Mark and Ramon. You know me. I know you. We're mini celebrities, as it were, you know, in our local communities. But everybody, Mark, knows Seth Godin. Yeah, everybody knows Gary Vaynerchuk. Everybody knows Brian Tracy, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, all these names. And those are different trajectories right there. So Barack and Gary. But the point I'm making is that that's a stratosphere where it's going to cost you $30,000, $50,000, $70,000, $100,000 for a speaker. And I've done it before. But you have to figure out what's the ROI. So I'm using Barack, ladies and gentlemen, not as an example of politics. This is not a political thing, just as an example, because he's now will be our former president. So using Barack Obama as an example, let's say it costs $200,000 to have him at the first event he's going to do January 21st or February, whenever you guys are hearing this. Is it worth it? If he speaks at your event, Mark, will 5,000 people attend? Will the 5,000 people pay $200 a ticket? Will you be able to get sponsorships from Mercedes-Benz and Tesla of $50,000 each? Well, there you go. It might be worth it to have him, using that as an example. You know, or do you really need a speaker like Ramon, where maybe your budget's only, you know, $15,000, $10,000? That's still quite a bit of money, but you can build an event around me as well. Many brands do that with me. So if that helps people understand, or, you know, I've done events, Mark, where I haven't paid people. I've gotten together, for example, three of the Inc. 500 entrepreneurs. And I was able to call it like an Inc. 500 panel. Now, Inc. magazine didn't like it. And now, of course, I have Smart Hustle magazine. But my point is, you can build a lot. Like, say, Mark, I get you, Mark, and two others. I can have a panel called, you know, Celebrity Podcast Panel. Doesn't that sound cool? Maybe nobody knows, quote unquote, Mark, but I made it now cool, if that makes sense.
So a lot of this is a numbers game where you want to look at how much the speaker's charging and then see how many people you can get within the audience.
Right.
I never thought of it that way.
Correct, because I think there's two ways to look at it. Overall, of course, you never want to lose money. That's for sure. But if you're doing the event to drive leads and you're a law firm, then it's a marketing spend. And you're paying money to have 300 people within the realm of hearing about your law firm throughout the day in the context of other content. Or like me, I do events as a business. So I need to make money from my event, ticket sales, and sponsorships. So that's where you have to think about it. And hence, like I said, okay. And I think other thing, Mark, is that every event needs to have at least one or two anchor speakers. That's kind of if it helps people understand it. Or now, there are different types of events, but how I do mine, I need at least to say, the famous celebrity person's coming to at least rally everybody around the event. You know, I can't have an event with just regular nobodies like Ramon, say, or Mark, or you know what I mean? Just, you need to have at least somebody well-known.
So there are people who want to organize their events, but there are also people who achieving a breakthrough means something different for them, whether it be publishing a book and getting it into a bestseller, or someone who wants to spread their message to a certain distance. So what advice do you have for the listeners who are trying to reach their breakthrough?
Yeah, I would say one, go small. See if in your local town, whether you're hearing this in Alaska or Iraq or Texas, can you get 25 people around a conference table in a WeWork or Regis? Can you get 50 people, you know, at the local, who knows, shop somewhere? So that's what I would do, Mark. I would say, can you get at least a tribe of people just to show up at something you plan? That's how I would start that. Because if you can get 25 people, 50 people, then you can do it smarter and smarter and smarter and better, and maybe aim for bigger. Or, Mark, you don't need to go bigger. Maybe you have a monthly event that gets about 30 people, paying or not, to meet your goals. So that's what I would start. You have to think, do you want to do the big celebrity type events? Or is it better that you're doing the smaller events to build your brand, to attract people? Don't forget, you can videotape the events. Now you have content, you know, take pictures. It makes you look good, build your personal brand, and other things.
So these small events, the understanding is it's a generally small audience. So you don't want to go all in with getting all the speakers, paying a lot of money. So do you have advice on doing these types of small events on a shoestring budget?
Yeah, for that, I would just say, listen, I mean, again, it depends on the type and flavor and how you're doing it. Let's say, for example, you're not the global small business summit or something big like that. In that case, you know, call it Mark's podcast work group and have a goal to have just 10 people. Put some pizza or some coffee, and that's it. You can get event venues for free from companies like Wix Lounge in New York City, or maybe partner with a local bank, your local TD Bank, Capital One. So there's ways to get space and venue. And then food, you know, again, it's all a matter of what's it worth. Can you just give pizza, or can you save further money and not give anything? But if you don't give anything, does that make your brand look bad and nobody wants to return again? There's no right answer. You just have to think what works for you and what the goals you're trying to accomplish. If that helps, it makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Just to focus on getting that event, making sure that it's free, because there are people who are going to help you out with that. I mean, you don't have to go all in. I've heard of stories of entrepreneurs who they'll spend millions of dollars trying to perfect this brand or product, and it never ends up launching. You can never make something perfect.
Exactly, exactly. And I would say, Mark, again, I'm not proud of this per se, but Mark, listen, there's typos at times on my PowerPoints. Things don't go well when I do things. I made mistakes sometimes, things like this. So my point being is that just launch. You don't have to do it perfectly. That is for sure.
All right. We are approaching the end of this podcast interview. So what I ask all my people is, what is one awesome inspirational quote you can think of right now?
Ah, for me. Okay, great. I was inspirational quote. Okay, good. I wasn't sure people were going to start calling and dialing in. Inspirational quote. I would say that life is a journey. And that's my quote. I tell my kids that. I think I made it up. You know, life is going to have ebbs and flows, ups and downs. But the one quote I would say is life is a journey. So enjoy it.
That's great advice. I mean, it's really hard sometimes to enjoy the journey. I mean, I think I've actually heard this quote before from one of my guests, but enjoying the journey, that's something that we all know is something that we have to do, but we rarely end up doing it during those low points.
Exactly. And understandably, Mark, it's hard. Something happens in your family. Something happens in your business. Your finances don't go well. That's not easy. That's tough to go through. But like you asked me at the beginning of our discussion, how do I go on? Mark, because I'm a very practical person, I'd like to think. Something happens. I cannot go back in time. Not yet. I'm working on that. Can't go back in time. All I can do is go forward. That's all I can do.
All right, Ramon, it's been a pleasure to have you. The final thing is I'm going to give you the spotlight right now and let all of my listeners know where we can find you on the web.
I appreciate that. My name is Ramon Ray, and if you want to see what I do, learn more about me, ramonray.com, R-A-M-O-N-R-A-Y. But I'd love, Mark, all of your audience to check out the great material we have at smarthustle.com, which is the website of Smart Hustle Magazine, smarthustle.com. Thank you.
Ramon, it has been such a great pleasure to have you on my show. I know the listeners are going to get a lot from this episode.
Appreciate that, man. Pleasure's mine.
I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. Ramon revealed his best tactics for organizing successful events. Just like any breakthrough worth pursuing, organizing a successful event is filled with its moments of excitement and temporary pain. I don't think I'll ever hear event organizing get compared to giving birth anytime soon, but the comparison is completely spot on. I also love how he went into mathematical detail and helping us calculate expenses and price points, and I find it equally impressive that he was able to successfully mention Obama, Clinton, and Trump without turning the episode into a political debate. That example provided me with a lot of clarity on who I should have speak at my future events and how much I would charge for each ticket. If you forgot to take notes, then don't worry, we've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markgaberti.com/E17 for those. You can ask your questions over there, which I'll be happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgaberti.com/iTunes or markgaberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. If you like my podcast, then you will definitely love my YouTube channel. Not only do I publish my podcast episodes on YouTube, but I also publish multiple YouTube videos every week in which I answer your questions and provide additional advice. To get more information on that channel and to subscribe to that channel, go to youtube.com/MarkGuberti. This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberti. For more insights, head on over to markguberti.com.